Welcome to the On the Pursuit podcast, where we connect with entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and business owners who've built amazing things on the pursuit of their goals and dreams. And I'm your host, Brendan Boyd.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the On the Pursuit podcast. I'm still in Florida, which is amazing, but right now specifically, I'm in Miami. And I'm in a special part of Miami because it's up and coming, right? Like the area is being revitalized. I'm in a resort right now, y'all. I'm in a full resort. And I'm joined by this exceptional entrepreneur, brand strategist, businesswoman, podcaster, Ms. Danielle Pejeda.
Thank you for having me. What's up, Brendan? Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to Overtown.
So let's talk about how we got here. Let's give them some real information. So I want you to obviously have an opportunity to introduce yourself, let them know all about the amazing things that you have going on. But I like to keep it real on the podcast. You know, we talk to 6, 7, 8-figure earners. You know, we like to learn about, you know, their strategies, what's working, what's not working, what allowed them to be successful. And I definitely want to talk to you about that. But I want to keep it real because I want people that are watching and listening to the podcast to understand real life and real business, right?
Well, we can get real.
So let's talk about how we even got here, right? So we got here actually on a podcast. You have been on my previous podcast.
Yes.
The virtual.
Yep.
My Imperfect Action Show.
Yep.
Which you guys know is a YouTube-only show. And we had conversations prior, and we were talking about potentially having you on the in-person, the one that we're on right now, right? So we had a conversation, and things on my internal side changed. And I don't always do free pods anymore, right? Now we charge for the podcast, right? Which is something that you guys should definitely work towards. And it's really not the only way that you can make money with your podcast, but it is a way. So we had a conversation, right?
Yep.
About me coming to Miami. I'm here. And then you said,
oh, we can schedule that podcast.
Right? And then I updated her on some changes internally, which... there was a ticket to charge to it, right? So I just shared the ticket with you.
You sure
and then,
did.
And then you said,
oh, but I thought you actually invited me onto your podcast.
Right?
I didn't understand that there was a fee.
So I'm sharing that with you guys because there's two things going on right here. Number one, I think it's important that if things change in your business, to communicate the change, right? Don't feel like you shouldn't for whatever reason. And then ultimately on her end, you know, there was some communication, so she wanted to hold steadfast to the communication, which is nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which, you know, and sometimes I feel like, right? And sometimes I feel like people will be passive aggressive or they'll just ignore something or be dismissive, right? But, you know, you and I worked it out, right?
So my responses to you, were they okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I never want to offend or anything of that sort. But we were actually having the conversation.
Were my responses offensive?
No.
Okay.
No, I feel like we just had the conversation. Yeah. It was just like.
I feel like sometimes in business, especially when you're communicating like.
We were texting.
Electronically.
Yeah.
Like text message and even email.
Yep.
Emotions or intent can be misconstrued.
Mm-hmm.
You can receive something and assume this is what someone means. And in fact, they may not mean that. They might even be just communicating.
Right.
You just received it. Like,
and honestly, you know, I've grown in that area over my life, which is, and being an entrepreneur, which is why I even asked you, how were my responses?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I mean, I've grown. Okay.
Well, that's good to know. I'm happy I'm meeting the grown version of you.
You sure are.
So quick little exercise. The reason why I'm even sharing that with you guys is because sometimes when you are negotiating a deal or an agreement or even just getting someone on the podcast, there may be some small little nuances, but you want to make sure that the guest is happy, you're happy. And if it's going to be a monetary exchange or a value to value, power to power exchange, that the guest receives what they want, you receive what you want. And there's never any mal or miscontent for doing the production, right? For delivering the value.
Yeah.
Which is why I wanted to kind of start there.
Yeah.
Right?
And, I also want to point out that, like, you have different audiences and you have different relationships. And I think it's, I think it's a good idea to understand which bucket each person falls under.
Yes.
And I think the reason that I'm sitting here today is because there's a lot more value that I bring to the table, and the fact that we are also building out a relationship, right? So there's a lot more to leverage here.
Yes.
That, you know, will bring extended value to your business and to the podcast that's happening. So there's people who is like, yo, I see a long-term opportunity to build with this person and for us to be able to go after opportunities or even make money together in the long term. So I think when you have certain people that come across, it's just like, you know what? I think I want to keep that person close by. Let's just keep building.
Yeah. And I think it's important to have conversations and have discord because, again, you may feel that way. The other person may not, or vice versa, but the communication doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the building doesn't happen. Or the collaboration doesn't happen.
Yep.
Or maybe the relationship is seen as short-sighted because of the monetary exchange.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still feel like you should get your money. You know what I'm saying?
And I mean, you taught me a lot of things over this last week about the innovation of the podcast industry and the approach and how people are building out in this space. And I'm always here willing to learn, so. Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, who are you? What do you do? Right? Let them know for the ones listening, for the ones that are, watching right now. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. So I'm grateful again to be here. I'm Danielle Jeter, and I currently live in Miami, Florida, but I am from Philadelphia. And Philly is where I've got my foundation and really being able to build up my name and my brand and the value that I bring to the marketplace has literally been a platform for me to expand my business and for me to be able to do business really across the world with having that foundation at home. So I help entrepreneurs scale their business to six figures with a very specific focus on holistic approach.
What's up, y'all? So I want to take a second to speak to my creators. So whether you currently got a podcast or think about launching a podcast, maybe you got a YouTube channel or you think about launching a YouTube channel. Here are the facts. Did you know that 9 out of 10 creators actually quit because they don't have anyone to hold them accountable? That's why all you need to do, right? Click that link below, join my Action Takers community, because not only are we gonna hold you accountable, we're gonna teach you how to execute at a higher level. Plus, give you access to principles and strategies to grow your mindset and generate more revenue. So what are you waiting for? Click that link below and join one of the fastest growing content and accountability communities, all right? I'll see you on the inside.
Okay, holistic. That's a very interesting word because it can be, I feel like it can mean a couple different things.
It can.
Yeah.
It can. And so I like to do that and have that approach to make sure that the CEO has sustainability while they're building this business, because building a six-figure, going to 7 and 8 is not a task for the faint at heart.
Yeah.
It does take a lot. You know, you're going to put a lot into it. And so my approach is to ensure that these people who I'm working with as entrepreneurs are thinking about themselves, their livelihood, their mindfulness first.
Gotcha.
While building this business.
So mindfulness, livelihood, and...
It's just the art of living well.
Gotcha.
As you can see, we living good.
I mean, listen, if you guys saw what's on the other side of these cameras and what's going on in this building in whole, you would probably be surprised. But like I told Danielle before, like, you didn't even got to leave this place. It
don't
feel like a full resort. They got everything in here. I'm pretty sure you're like, what did they got? Everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Everything.
Yep. So it's been a great investment. But that's what I'm doing. And I do that through the concept of masterminding and also like mentoring and coaching.
Okay.
So I call it a learning community. Prior to that, my experience has been in the space of communications and public relations. And I built a six-figure agency as a PR company and as a specialist in that space for a long time, 15 years
so running this business. I got a couple questions.
Yep.
So, okay, let's talk about mastermind first.
Okay.
Right? And then I want to ask you about this learning community. So let's break down mastermind. So what is your definition and how have you designed your mastermind, and then why is it important?
So my definition of mastermind is where there's a community of people who are like-minded going in the same direction.
Okay.
And who are interested in getting there faster, quicker, but together.
Okay.
So that's where the community.
Like this?
Just like that. So that's where, you know, the community actually comes into play.
Okay.
Because we're learning together.
Yeah.
I like to take a less of approach of a stage and audience and more so of approach where we all bring value to this space. Everybody who's coming in here have an expertise in some area. So that means you have something to give to the community as well.
So everyone's contributing.
Everybody's contributing to the strategies. Everyone's talking about tactics. We are solving problems in your business. You're coming here and not to flaunt your accomplishments, but to be like, yo, last week was trash. I made nothing. Or the deal didn't go through. Or, oh my gosh, I have to figure out how to make my first fire. I have to fire somebody. How do I do it? You know, so we're coming together to streamline the business, to give you solutions, to find out where are those holes in your business and fill in them quickly.
Okay.
With the strategies and the resources that you need.
All right. And then how does that differentiate from a learning community, or how do you foster that learning community?
So it is the learning community.
Okay. So the mastermind encompasses...
is a learning community.
Okay, it's a learning community.
Yep.
All right. And then you talk about helping, you know, women get to the six figures, right?
Yep.
So the reason why I'm asking you this specifically is because I would like for you to kind of break down how simple it is to get there, but not how easy it is.
Yep.
Because I want people to think like, oh, she's saying six figures. I can't get the six figures. It's going to take me a whole year or two to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But like if we're doing a math and if you're breaking down, let's say just on a PR side, if somebody wanted to start an agency in terms of like price points and clients.
Yep.
And you were consistent with that same amount of price point and client.
Yep.
How many clients would that be? And then how many months would it take?
So really,
I'm trying to give y'all some real game here.
So, yeah, really, when you're building out an agency, whether it's a PR agency or even a digital marketing agency, it should be high ticket.
Okay.
So high ticket starts at $3,000.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, math, I did $5,000 a month. My retainers were $5,000 a month for PR for each particular client.
Okay.
So, on a monthly basis.
All right. I fancy myself not as a mathematician, but I can count a couple numbers. So, $5,000 a month, two people, it's $10,000.
Yes, $10,000.
That's $10,000 times 12 is six figures.
That's six figures.
So, if you're right now watching and listening, and you've been on the fence about whatever agency you want to start, right? And we're talking about social media marketing agency, PR agency. You know, maybe you're going to help people with LinkedIn.
But right? Branding.
Branding, mm-hmm. Ads, you know. Maybe you're someone like myself. You want to get into, you know, a podcast PR type of agency or something like that.
Yep.
If you have an offer that is $5,000.
At least $5,000.
You get two clients a month. So let's say 24 clients.
Yep. And that means that they're going to be on a retainer
for
six, eight months, 12 months. You want to keep them for long term.
You can have a six-figure business literally with 24 people.
Yep.
Now, some of you guys that are watching this, listening to this, might be like, $5,000 sounds crazy. I can't even get myself to offer $5,000. I'm afraid they're not going to buy from me. If we simplify that, you mentioned $3,000, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't go lower than three.
Okay, so $3,000. So $3,000 a month, four clients is 12.
Yep.
And 12 times 12 is 144.
It's 24.
You get clients.
Yeah.
But it's 144,000.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
A number is number. So whether it's $3,000, four clients a month, $5,000, two clients a month, you got a six-figure agency.
Right there.
Between two or four clients.
I love the agency approach.
So who out there can't get two to four clients?
Yeah.
So let's talk about your time in PR. Marketing, you know, want to talk about your transition. I don't know, is it out there yet?
Yeah, we can do it. We can do it. Yep.
So we're going to talk about, you know, how your business is evolving.
And I'm doing it first here. This is an exclusive.
Oh.
This is an exclusive, yes.
PR, pursued exclusive. So, okay. So you got into the agency. How fast did it take you to get maybe your first two to four clients? And then what were some of the hurdles and were you afraid to kind of like pitch your first client or cold call? What was cold DM? What was that like?
So I will say that my first client was amazing and we are still in communication today. I actually just called him yesterday with another offer.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's an agency life. You want to retain clients and have ascension.
Yeah.
So I will say that, honestly, when I first started with my first client, we were not high ticket and we didn't know.
Okay. So what is not high ticket? Where were you at?
Anything less than $2,000.
And what were you offering?
I think we offered him like $850. Like
for
a month? Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Like what was I doing?
You was over delivering.
You know, I was like 22.
I mean, I was good money back then. So you know, $1,000 client, right? You like, oh, just one client, $12,000.
Yep, I was living at home still. So, yeah. So I will say that that's kind of like where we started.
Okay.
And I kind of got into PR by accident.
Yeah.
I kind of just got into it, and it was because the business started out as events. So we were planning events for clients. So that's more of a project-based approach.
Yeah.
And so when that happened, I also was building a career in media because I went to the radio station.
Gotcha.
And I interned there, and I began to make contacts with journalists. So a few times, people reached out to me, asking me to represent them and to do their marketing. And I said, I don't offer that service.
Yeah.
But when the requests continued to come in, I was like,
listen,
on to something.
They got a problem. I got a solution, or I can create a solution.
I created the solution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not knowing the value in that service, which is why I started at $850 a month.
Yeah.
So that client came to me because they saw me in the community doing my thing. And they said, how many TV stations can you get me on, and which TV stations can you get me on?
Mm.
And I was like, well, this is the list of media I have contacts to. And he's like, I want that one. And it was Fox 29.
Mm.
And I got him on Fox. It took me 2 months to get him on Fox. And then he signed his contract. He was like, all right, let's.
So as soon as you got him on Fox, then the Fox money was in your pocket.
It was in my pocket.
That's
how I secured that. So
that was the first $850 client.
Yeah, and it took me 2 months to get that client.
What was the strategy that took you about 2 months? And if you were hitting up a brand new, let's say, TV station now, would you acquire that relationship and that seeding much faster? Or would it take you about the same amount of time?
Yeah, because we have to think, you know, this was years ago. This was, 14 years ago, you know, at the time.
So pre-social media.
Yeah. You know, before we were building brands on social media. So you have to think our tactics have been sped up.
Okay.
We can contact people easier with LinkedIn and social media channels and things of that sort. But I went old school with it. We literally went up to the station with his pitch in the envelope. And I sent a deliverer with a man in a suit.
That's
and told
crazy.
Him to deliver my pitch.
But, I mean, that presentation, that's white glove, though.
It was white glove.
That's what's up. You was trying to get that $850.
I was like,
how much it cost to send a man to the building?
It was my homie. So he was
strategy.
Like, he was like, I got you, because he wanted to see me win.
That's awesome.
You know, he he's just that kind of person.
Yeah.
You know, he's such a giver. And he dropped that off. 20 minutes later, I got the call. Can your client be here tomorrow? I said, say less. We in there. And we got on TV the next morning.
That's crazy. That's an amazing story. I like a lot of the stuff you did there, because you thought out the box, right? You had a friend that wanted to see you win, so they were down for the cause. You put a really good deliverable together.
Mm-hmm.
You got the result, signed the client, got the money, started the business.
Yep.
For the client.
Yeah, that's the first one.
Damn. And then you evolved from that. So
I've evolved, yeah.
So when it comes to pricing, as you evolved your pricing, did you have any hurdles when it came to start asking for more money?
I think my hurdles were more internal and mental.
Okay.
Like, I felt like I had to do more in order to justify a price cost.
Yeah.
And I also thought that I could only change my prices once a year. But that's false.
Yeah.
That's not.
You change your prices like
whenever you need to. You know.
So you 8,000, you 10,000.
So literally, it took us years. I mean, years, y'all, to get the six figures, because I'm thinking I can't switch my price to the end of the year.
God.
So imagine me going through the year waiting. All right, next year I'm going to inch it up a little bit. But this is me being 22, 23 years old, navigating this space from the bottom.
And did you have a mentor back then?
I did, but not in my industry.
Okay.
In the PR, in the media industry, not media. I would say the PR industry at that point was very much gatekeepers.
Okay, yeah.
They weren't mentoring young people coming into it. They wasn't trying to help you.
Mm.
It would be very surface level information.
Gotcha.
You know? And so I began to change the narrative and the approach around that. And I started a company called Women in Media Global. And I'm like, nah, we're going to give away the game. We're going to give out the resources. We're going to share the contacts, because how are we going to usher in another generation of practitioners if we can't help?
No, facts. Facts. So you were doing the game and giving the game.
It was difficult. Yeah. I mean, shout out to all the entrepreneurs who are starting businesses now, because the access to resources and information is crazy.
It sure is.
It was not like this back in the day.
It can be a little overwhelming for some people.
But at least it's there. At least you can go on Instagram, go on Google, and find it. But when we were starting up I started my business in 2009, 2010, the landscape looked totally different.
So what is, like, the highest amount you made in a month, like, through the services? Like,
so we've really given out the game.
Yeah, like, I want them to know, like.
So, I would say.
Like, maybe the first time you hit, like, a crazy number.
We hit, like, 26K.
That's crazy.
A 26K month. And, yeah. I mean, really, that was with probably 3 clients.
That's nuts. So, 3 clients at 26K. So, that's just under, like, 9,000 a client.
Yep.
So 3 clients, 27,000.
Yep.
Some people don't even make 27,000 in a year.
Yep.
And then I think the poverty level in the United States of America is like 40,000 or something. So 3 clients, you're pretty much right there.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Was that one of the highest months?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And the crazy thing is, you always say it, you can make a lot of money in a short amount of time.
Oh, for sure.
And this client, one of those 3 clients was a one-off. We just did an event for them. And he just dropped the whole bag for me to do an event in a month.
What I want you guys to understand is that sometimes, you know, it's like Danielle said it, it's really just within you. Where you're like, oh, you have these limiting beliefs. When there's someone out there right now that will pay for everything that you will bring to the marketplace, all the services and the solutions, and they'll gladly pay for it because you basically solve a bottleneck or a problem that's been in a thorn in their side or like, you know, just preventing a business to go to the next level or maybe just tying up their time.
Yeah.
So they'll gladly pay you that 5K invoice, that 10K invoice, that 27,000
to release their pain.
Yep. And they can just focus on something else.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of, I think sometimes it's like people are playing in the same sandbox. You don't realize it's like, another sandbox with people that just got way more money.
Like coming to Miami from Philadelphia.
So you ever go to like a casino?
Mm-hmm.
You play like
I have
gamble?
Before.
All right. So let's say we're playing blackjack. We're at table. It's a $25 hand minimum.
Okay.
There's a table next to us. $100 minimum. Maybe like a couple tables away. There's a room with a 5K minimum.
Mm-hmm.
We're all playing blackjack. The only difference is the people that are associated at each table. So the people that are at the 5K hand, they're just like the people at the $25 table, or the people at the $50 table, because that 5K to them is the $25 or the $50.
Their belief level is different.
So all you have to do is start communicating with other people or potential clients, right, or prospects.
Yep.
That are in that pool that can decide quick and pay you quick.
Yeah.
And start multiplying money faster.
And, you know, all that is so real. And it's one of the reasons that inspired me to start this mastermind community, because I just felt pain seeing the entrepreneurs stay in that same sandbox. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I was in that sandbox in real estate. I ain't going to hold you. I was sandboxing it up.
Yeah. Like, I literally had a conversation with someone yesterday, and you also have to know when people are not ready to be helped. Like, I'm not going to convince you of my value. You should be able to see my value by the way that I'm communicating, but also by the way that I show up in the marketplace. And she understands and sees my value, which is why she took my call.
Yeah.
But she's stuck in the fact that she didn't feel like she could move her business forward with the strategy I was giving her because of the timing. And she just has stinking thinking and just like a very negative like attitude around it. And honestly, like me removing myself out of my environment in Philadelphia, which is a city that I love, that has helped me be who I am and place myself in this environment, that mindset there is toxic.
Like
we can't even have the same kind of conversations.
It's true.
Because they can't see it. That it's a toxic thinking environment.
So you said something on my live earlier today. Somebody had made a comment about like my hometown, Boston, and like I'm only going to be in Boston for a day.
Yeah.
And I think you made a comment to the effect of
Like, you have to leave where you're from for them to believe you or for them to see
to get,
you.
Yeah, for so, you to get the respect what, that
what
you deserve.
What did you say exactly? Do you remember? How you
yeah, I said that a prophet has to leave his hometown in order to receive the respect due his name.
So what did you mean by that for those that are watching and listening?
Because somebody was like, well, what did Boston do to you? Why are you only coming for a minute? And I know you're from Boston, so that's why I said that. And, I mean, honestly, that means that sometimes you don't get the respect or they don't see your value because they know you as a previous version of who you were.
Fact.
So they yeah. might keep you in this box or keep you at this level because they saw you when you was that young bull wilding out. Mm. They saw you when you graduated from college and you was working at the 7-Eleven. They saw you as the assistant to the CEO, but now you are the owner. But they keep you in this limited version. Mm. And so they don't always value you or give you that respect. And sometimes they'll just look over you. And you don't have to stay there or, like, take that type of treatment. You can bounce on them.
Definitely.
You know? And you just continue to level up. And then they'll just... The respect just is just going to come. Like, there's going to be no way around it when you continue to, like, show up.
And elevate.
And elevate and be that professional, be that expert, and continue to dominate your space.
And one thing I got to say about that is I think oftentimes we kind of take it for granted that we got one life, you know?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being in your hometown, but there's one life. There's all these different countries
and
continents
places.
And cities, right, that you could live in. We don't have to live in the same place, guys. Like, it's okay to move somewhere for a year or two. And you may be someone that's like, I need to be in close proximity to my family. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you just go to a city that might be 2-3 hours away or a state that might be 4 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Get another experience. At least do that and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't want to move and it's like, this is offensive to you, at least get your passport.
And travel.
And travel. And make sure you get global entry, clear, and TSA pre-check.
Yes.
So you can have a pleasant experience moving around and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I say that to say, if you don't move and if you don't have a different experiences, you're going to have a very closed off reality of what the world has to offer
mm-hmm.
you. And
you won't be able to always expand your network.
100%. And unless you're intentionally going out there and joining different groups and stuff like that, Your income is also going to be capped, too.
My income was capped.
It's going to be capped.
I didn't even know it. Yeah. I didn't even know it. I was satisfied and content with where we were.
Yeah.
But we were just scratching the surface, literally. And I didn't know until I left that environment. I didn't even know that I needed to leave.
Yeah.
Got up and moved me. This was not planned. But I then began to position myself in different rooms. And guess what? Those rooms, I paid a premium price to get into them.
Talk your shit.
Premium price. Like, one day I went to a Grant Cardone event here in Miami. Had no clue that it was going to be a cost associated with it because I thought that I was going to be able to go to the door, name drop, and get in.
Mm.
Well, newsflash, you ain't in Philly. You in Miami. And that's just not how
that
it
goes. That ain't how it going.
So they were just like, well, yeah, I mean, we could offer you, like, we can make a different offer, but you're going to have to pay to get in.
Facts.
I swear I dropped like $5,000 at the door.
Let's talk about that.
At the door.
Right, let's talk about that.
Like unintended, not planned. I was like, all right. Let me take a moment. I'll be right back. So I went and I sat down and I said, Spirit, you know, I just started speaking. And then this lady came up to me and she felt like an angel. And she was like, do it. Dude, she was like a Grant Cardone fan. She's like, this will be the best investment. You should just do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. And I was just like, fuck it, YOLO. Let's run it. Run the play. Like, all right, let's see how this goes. And it's, I mean, I ain't missed the money. You know, I didn't miss the money. Like, it just turned up.
So let's talk about that $5,000, right? So this is the biggest amount of money at that time that you put down to get access to somewhere. Is that correct?
At the door.
Okay, so, all right. So let's kind of dial it back.
At the door.
So let's dial it back. So you went to this networking event. You knew it was going to be a Grant Cardone event. You thought that you better flex your muscle, you make and drop.
Get in.
You know what I'm saying? What's a couple moves?
Right.
Use your charm and charisma at the door to gain access, but you were pleasantly denied.
Yep.
And you were asked to make an investment in yourself.
Yep.
Not a payment, not an expense. And you were saying that you had to take a moment, process it, right?
Check all the numbers.
Then an angel lady came through. she was rah-rah-rah and telling you to do it and supported you. And then walk us through that. Like, how did you feel at that point?
So I just went up and I gave them, you know, I probably turned my head and
gave
them
the choir.
And I feel great about it.
Okay.
I feel like it was an awesome opportunity.
Yeah.
It was a great room to be in. It was so much brand new information.
Yeah.
I needed that information. So it felt like $5,000 worth of information of networking opportunities,
yeah,
of stretching my mind and exposure. So yes, it was a great investment.
So, okay. So a lot of people would probably be like, $5,000 to get access to a room. $5,000 is a lot of money. I don't know where I would get $5,000. This is my last $5,000. I don't know if I would spend it on that. But what came out of you being in a room of other people that at least paid $5,000? Because I'm pretty sure there were some other offers in there that may have been more expensive.
Yeah, I couldn't make no more commitments after that.
So what did I feel like being in a room of other people that invested at least $5,000? And then what opportunities came for you actually being in our room, maybe, you know, in real time, and then what happened after?
Well, I would say that I was, even though I invested at that level, and it might sound like a lot to our listening audience, but I was in the back of the room.
Yeah.
So there were people who invested at a much higher level and were at the front of the room. And so that part didn't feel good, you know, because I was taught to always be in the front, to sit at the front.
You're like, I gotta come harder.
Yeah. So, and then Grant was like, all y'all back there, make sure that y'all invest better and come up here.
Yeah, you know,
and that's how they sectioned
the emotional strain. She's like, I'm paying 15 next time.
Yeah.
Get that.
And I think that's a really good strategy on both ends.
I agree.
You know, so that was that. But I do have a relationship with his wife, okay, Elena Cardone.
Did you make any money directly in the room when you got in the room? So, and the reason why I asked is because I had a similar kind of experience the first time I paid a higher ticket to get in the room. So you were in that room. Did you make your $5,000 back from networking in the room? Did that money come out after? Like when did you see a return on your investment?
That's interesting. I actually made the money back a year later.
Mm.
With somebody who remembered me and knew that I had access to yachts and exotic cars in Miami.
Okay.
This is a guy who, I mean, this is not a guy that I talked to. I never even had a meeting with him. He sent somebody to my DMs and I closed them.
Mm. At a $5,000 ticket?
Yeah, it was pretty up there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty up there.
Nice.
They paid. Yeah, yep, they paid. Yeah. Yep. Because I planned an event for them.
Wow.
And they came from out of town. They came from, like, Arizona. They didn't know much about the market. So I pretty much set up, like, a concierge service where I hosted them, set up they did a huge yacht. They did one of the yachts that hold, like, 40 people.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that was a year later. Like, tangible.
Yep.
Yep.
Got you.
Yep, so I did get a client out of it.
And the information that you learned from that room opened your mindset and enabled you to make that money over again.
That room is crazy. That Grant Cardone
energy
tribe,
yeah,
they different.
You
know, I like
Grant,
them. I like them.
We got to get you on a podcast. Elena, got to get you on a podcast. Jared, got to get you on a podcast. 10X, 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 let's go.
They're different.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, you do actually get a tangible book.
Yeah.
Like, Grant gives you two books. He has a real estate book, and he has, like, a marketing and sales book. It is huge. It's
like a Bible.
It's like a Bible.
Yeah.
And it's a workbook.
It?
I have it. I have both of them. Yeah.
I work. I'm about to get some work for an airplane, y'all. Let's go.
I think I have two of them. I don't know how I got two, because I think I went to two events, so I got one for each event. But that's something I can keep and go through.
Yeah.
I can use it as my own.
Facts.
You know? So, yeah, definitely a lot of value. And I got free coaching out of it because I made friends with one of Grant Cardone's lead salesmen.
Mm.
And he coaches me.
That's fire.
That's fire. Invaluable.
Hey, are you an entrepreneur or a business owner and you feel like you had a ceiling in your business? Well, it's not because there's anything wrong with your products or services. It's simply because you need more exposure. More people need to know who you are and what you do. My name is Brendan Boyd, and I want to help you get on more podcasts, more YouTube shows, and other opportunities to get in front of more people. All you need to do is click that link below and book a call with me or someone from my team, and we're going to find out if we're a good fit to help you get in front of more people.
All right, so we talked about a little bit of mindset, a little bit of stretching, right? Talked about your transition, getting into your business, how you've been able to position the six figures, how you help other women make six figures. Mastermind is learning community,
mm-hmm,
right? Now we're going to touch on maybe the evolution of you as an entrepreneur, as now we get an exclusive, you're going to be monetizing your talents and getting in front of more people,
yeah,
commanding audiences. So
right,
let's talk about this, the speaking prowess you about to kind of enter in.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's like...
Me too. Me too.
Thank
about
you.
To be talking that spiciness from the stage.
And you're going to be joining the stage with me.
One to many.
Yeah, to many.
That's fire. So let's get into that. So talk about that, and then like what brought that out, what inspired it, and like what's the plans?
It's like God gave me a preview of myself into the future because I was being utilized as such back in my hometown. So I did a ton of speaking, universities, schools, different panel discussions, events. I mean, literally kind of like a little spokeswoman, like moving around town. And it was because I was positioned as a young professional and an advocate for young business owners and women. And so when they needed somebody, Jeter, they tapped me. They continued to tap me. And I continued to show up and I continued to add value and I continued to express my gratitude for those moments. So it was like I was getting my training ground, like I was on my training wheels, you know. And at that point, again, with this mindset, I didn't know I could get paid to speak because that could have been another income stream if somebody put me on game.
I'm saying you should have met me earlier.
Right. I should have met you about 10 years earlier. But my mama put me on game and she was just like, you are great. Like,
yeah, maybe you told me that. Yeah.
She's like, you've been speaking, you've been perfecting it, you sound really good, like, you can charge to speak, you can get paid to speak. I said, people do that? And she's like, yeah. She started pointing out, look at this conference, TD Jakes does this conference, look at this person, look at this person. I was just like, oh, I didn't see it. And she saw it. So now fast forward, you know, I took time from not necessarily... I would do them when the opportunities would come, but now I want to be more aggressive about seeking out opportunities and presenting myself because I sat still and I scaled my PR company. And, you know, when you're in that scale phase, you do have to focus because you're building out your team, but also you're building out your systems at the same time.
Yeah.
So I sacrificed a lot of that platform to do this, you know, to do the scale. And now that I've seen, like, I can scale a business. I know how to scale an agency. Mm. I can do this, but I feel like I'll be better used at this stage of the game with 15 years in my belt as someone who is a subject matter expert, who is able to speak, who is able to teach and facilitate the knowledge versus being the practitioner behind the brands doing the work.
Yeah.
And I can demand more when I'm using my brain and my strategy versus doing this.
So let's talk about like how you plan to into the space. Like, do you have an idea of the model that you're going to follow? Is there a certain speaker that you kind of like the model that they use? Do you have a couple of other ideas of how you want to be positioned in the space? And then what different ways you feel like you can monetize? Well, you will be monetized.
So I want to position myself as a expert at doing fireside chats.
Okay. What is a fireside chat.
A fireside chat is this. It's a two-way conversation.
Okay.
You see Oprah doing it all the time. When she's interviewing, they're more like conversations.
Okay.
Where she's talking to Viola Davis or Michelle Obama, okay, or, you know, all of the greats.
So why is it called a fireside chat? What's fireside about? Why isn't it just not an interview?
Because imagine like where we are right now. Imagine we're here in this nice ambiance. We're having a conversation and there's a fireplace right there. This feels like a fireplace conversation.
Got you. So it has that element to it.
Right.
Got
it's you. A okay. Two-way conversation versus a panel discussion where you have multiple voices.
All right. So are you anticipating a fireside chat type of model? Like, are you saying that you want to speak in front of many with a fireside chat model? So will it always be you and a guest, or will it be a combination of like you and a guest and then sometimes you just going up just killing it yourself?
I really want to brand me and a guest.
Okay. So who's doing that right now? Did you feel like doing that at a high level, fireside chatting at a high level right now, men or, you know, male or female?
Oprah Winfrey.
Okay, so Oprah would be the archetype.
Yep.
To how you would be creating your version of that.
Yep.
So you're going to model her path,
yeah,
her pathway.
And then you have those people like Dave Letterman's those big people, like those big media personalities who've been in the industry for forever. And they get those exclusives, like with R. Kelly and like, you know, you're able to really sit down and have those conversations, because when people begin to elevate their brand to a certain level, they don't want to share the stage. Like, what does, you know, like, what does Master P look like sitting down with like seven people?
So you,
he can hold the whole stage himself. He has that much information to share.
100%. So it also made me think about like Elliot Wilson when he was doing, I think, Rap Radar. Or something, or it is another brand. I think I can't think of it at the moment. But he would do these fireside chats. Tidal. I think they were Tidal.
Okay.
And you could watch it on an app. This was before Jay-Z sold the app. You could watch it on the app, and what he would do is he would have these exclusive interviews or fireside chats with like the who's who, the celebrities, and sometimes it would be on Tidal, and he would invite a crowd to come, and then it would stream on the app. And then sometimes he would do it in a vehicle.
Okay.
So that's he's the current version of what you're sharing with me that I can recall that did some more modern with that kind of like presentation.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if we're still doing a shout out to Elliot. We probably need to get you on a podcast, my boy. But that's something that makes sense. So I can see it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool because it does stand out. Because now that I'm thinking about other speakers, they're not doing that model.
Yeah, because panel discussions, they're cool to deliver information to a conference.
Yes.
And because, honestly, people use panels to attract a larger audience. So they're like, oh, if I could put together these five experts or these four personalities, I can draw a bigger crowd because everybody gonna want to come and see them.
Yes.
But I also don't think that's a good use of certain people's time when they are have elevated, reached a certain level of their career. It's just like, this person didn't even have 10 minutes to speak. They came out their house, they got dressed, they did all this, they did promotion, then they come up on the stage just to say two things.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I think there's room in the industry, like when organizers and planners are putting together these conferences and these spaces with these panels, to be a little bit more intentional. Like, it's not just about your bottom line, but you also got to understand what the experience is going to be like for the people on the stage.
That makes sense. So this is my question to you, because I like the model, and I feel like it's very, very interesting, especially to present that like now, right? How do you intend on monetizing that model? What comes to your mind? Did you think about how you're going to go about monetizing that model?
I mean, well, first things first, you know, being a highly paid speaker, showing up to the venue and being paid, you know, this is a service that I'm delivering, because essentially I'm sitting in the seat of the journalist.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So we get paid for those appearances. Also, I mean, if I have an opportunity, say I do a panel or whatever the case may be, like being able to have some sort of offer available.
Yes.
You know, to
is major. Yeah.
You know, so making some offers from the stage or even have an opportunity to invite people to be a part of my community.
Yes.
And kind of taking them away from that venue with me and then following up with them and nurturing those activities for them to join my mastermind communities, for them to join the women in media, you know, to subscribe to the work that we have going on. With women in media, we do want to develop our own, we're a media company. So we want to monetize our content and create an app experience that is content about women for women. And it's like a women's interest platform.
Yeah.
So being able to monetize my intellectual property with like other digital products online and being able to have those subscriptions and those products available online. But I'm open to ideas.
Well, I was going to say, let me not take away and not like express the fact that you actually have your own mastermind events that you do two or three times a year, which a lot of speakers don't have. So you literally already have been doing these events.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think since you're kind of moving in that direction, it's like now you can put more intention on it and more energy towards that. So let's talk about the Mastermind to Millions.
Yeah, for sure. So our next one, I'm very excited because you're going to be there.
I mean, I'm just supporting. I'm just collaborating, just adding what I can add, you know.
So August 17th through the 19th in Miami is where we'll have our three-day experience. So it's going to be a mixture of learning, but also a mixture of Miami vibes. Mm. So I'm definitely bringing
Miami
you out.
Miami Vice vibes.
The Vice vibes. I'm definitely bringing you out to the yachts. We're going to
see if we can get a old school Ferrari Testarossa.
Old school. Now, I haven't thought about an old school car. Last year, we did a modern exotic car.
Yeah.
But I haven't thought about old school. That's kind of cute.
We should get Miami Vice vibes. Let's see if we can get rent an old school Ferrari Testarossa for content day.
Yeah, content day.
That would be super.
Yeah.
Like an old school. Ferrari Testarossa is very Miami Vice. But we can also probably get an old school Lambo Gallardo.
Okay.
Because that's kind of in the same, it's not.
So you're going to have to text me these names.
I think that'll be ill.
So then I can know what I need to go search for.
Because
I got the plug to the new exotic cars, but now I'm where can I find the old school?
Some old school joints.
The old school joints. That'd be dope.
Okay, so Mastermind of Millions, August 17th.
Through the 19th.
What's going down at your mastermind?
So this whole experience is for us to come from all over the country, no matter where you are, to have an intimate in-person experience for us to work on your business, to empower your mindset. We're going to talk about branding. We're going to talk about marketing. And we're also going to help you with sales and systems as well.
Okay, cool.
So with the 3 days, we're going to have connection day, a day for us to do deal flow and exchange. We're going to have learning day, which is where we'll do the podcast stages, the workshops, the speakers, the presentations, the hands-on learning experience. And our members actually get a chance to be on a podcast during the weekend. They actually record content as well. So that is day two. And day three is the content day. That is our lifestyle experience. So we do meditation and yoga on the beach. We have lunch. We do our yacht as a finale. And it's just a lot of social exchanges, but also a space where you're going to feel transformation. You're going to get information and value that you need in order to take your business to the next level, which is to 6 and 7 figures. So if you haven't hit 6, there's no reason for you to not show up and get the information that you need to take you to new heights. Yeah. And Miami is such a beautiful backdrop for it because the environment is so healthy, it's so positive. And with all of the nature and the sun, just people coming here, putting themselves in a different environment like this, just lifts their mood. And it's a big reason why they actually do show up. They're like, Miami is just a vibe. It's going to give you a really good energy. So it is a space where we are intentional about bringing people together. And I want to work with people who want to help other people.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
People who are just not going to come and just grab and take, but it's just like, what value can you add? How else can you support the community? What else do you have to give?
Facts. I mean, man, you done gave us a lot of value on this episode, right? And you talked about your journey. We talked about the PR company starting it, how they can get to 6 figures with it quick.
Right? Just charge right.
We talked about your transition into, speaking, how you position it differently, with this particular fireside chat model, how you plan to monetize that model. And then obviously this amazing Mastermind 10 Millions event. That's coming up. So if someone's listening to this, right, and they're maybe even watching it, and they're like, yo, I have to speak to Jeter. I got to know what's up with the Mastermind of Millions. I actually feel like I want to speak. How can they tap in with you? Break that down. How can they have a conversation with you?
So Instagram, you can DM me at DP Jeter, and just DM me the word millions. DM millions. And I know that you're serious about getting to the millions and you want to come with me to do it. You want to come with us. So that will open up the opportunity for us to connect. The website for the mastermind is meetup2millionsmastermind.com. meetup2millionsmastermind.com is the website. And again, Instagram at DP Jeter. Those are two great channels to reach out to me. And yeah.
And listen, if you guys do that, what I'll do is I'll throw in 2 ebooks with that, free. I'm gonna give you my marketing secrets ebook.
Ooh, that's a good ebook.
Yeah, for free. And I also throw in, I have a marketing blueprint to help you get in front of more people and just really just be a little bit more omnipresent. So if you tap into her community, I'll give you both of those digital assets completely for free. This has been amazing. I'm excited that you were here.
Yes, I'm glad you came to town.
And what you guys don't know is that it literally took me 10 minutes to set up this podcast situation, which if you follow me, you know all about it. I teach you all about how to be a mobile podcaster and stuff like that.
That's dope.
But this has been awesome. That's is there dope. Anything else you want to share with the people?
Just mark your calendars. Just come out, be a part of the vibe. Brendan is going to be there, and there's going to be a plethora of other speakers as well. One of the big, big takeaways from our last mastermind was that we were able to take all of our members to actually have a lunch and learn and sit down inside of a Black-owned multi-million dollar business here in downtown Miami called Wrap Snacks.
That sounds pretty dope.
So these are things that we do. You know, I like to provide access and resources. So you're going to get all the sauce and the gems from us. But when you tap in with us, you tap into our network. And it's value being in the room and in the community.
So listen, y'all, you heard from Jeter, DP Jeter. Make sure you tap in with her. This has been another episode of the On the Pursuit podcast where we talk to 6, 7, 8 figure earners who are making a lot of moves. And if you don't know them, this is a great platform for you to know them. And we'll see you guys on another episode. Peace.